Hello, thank you for being with us here, the New Life series, educational series with Dr. Michael Lehman. Hello, Rav Lehman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazuz. Hello. We want to learn from Rav Lehman how to build our lives as a new life, a better life, a life where all the relationships between us go up a stage to the highest, highest place where possible, because we understand that the relations between us define our entire mood, our health, our success in life, our disappointments, everything. We want to take this factor and learn how to work with it properly. I understand that we have a tool in our hands, that if we know how to focus it properly, we'll be able to bring everything. If we know how to tune it properly, we'll be able to bring it to a place where we wake up in the morning with a great light in our eyes and we'll have a great life. And each time we focus on one of our relationships and everybody's life, we focus on it, and usually the insight from each system can serve us and all the other relationships in our lives. Be with us. There will be a lot to learn for sure. Nitza, open up the discussion, please. So first of all, we're in a parents course. We're learning to be parents. And the subject that we want to speak about today is about adolescence. One of the most challenging phases, parents, is a stage when their little child suddenly becomes older and everything starts to change. Up until a certain stage, he wouldn't argue too much. We had good communication with him. We could understand what was going on. But the minute he starts to go become like a teenager, he goes through this phase, he starts to get his own identity, starts to demand more independence. He starts to go through changes, physical, emotional, cognitive. The whole way he thinks changes, his needs change, his urges change, everything changes. We're looking at a creature, it was our little boy that we knew, and in front of our eyes, suddenly everything's changing. And the first thing that we want to understand as parents is, first of all, what's happening with our kid? What's happening? If we understood better what's happening with him, maybe it would be easier for us to see how we can adjust ourselves to their new needs that are starting to show up and help him to shape in the best possible way his identity. First of all, we have a problem because we're not talking about getting there suddenly to becoming a teenager. We're talking about a process that we're going through with a child. And therefore, if we truly go through a process with him and us together as parents and the child, then there's no jumps. There's nothing sudden and there's no surprises, but rather we understand what's happening. And he actually, through his connection with us, also in advance, he understands, he feels what's happening with him, and then he has no problem. He has no problem. He doesn't receive sudden changes. He doesn't have sudden changes if we're going through the stages with him properly. But if it doesn't happen, then in accordance with that, at every age we have surprises, and especially at the adolescence age. What's so special about the adolescence? A person. He starts to be a person. It's not someone that's copying the big people and his entire desire to be similar to them, like what happens at the before adolescence, that he doesn't have his own maturity. He's still not a personality. Therefore, everything we say, he listens, he accepts. Maybe he doesn't want to accept it sometimes, but it's because he's taking an example from someone else instead of his parents. He has friends. He has all kinds of forms of communication, internet, TV, but still he's still copying all kinds of forms, and he's putting them inside. He's copying the types of light that he sees, and whichever has a stronger form, that's how it's accepted. And here we need to just identify what he's more inspired from and what less, and make sure that the good, correct ones go into his memory, his brain, and his heart, and that it will be like those same qualities against which he'll verify life. That's very important. Until he receives, takes from all the sides all kinds of impressions. That's before adolescence. When you get to adolescence, he starts to show himself as understanding, feeling, working, operating himself, apparently responsible for what he does, wants to be responsible, in other words, wants to demonstrate, I decide and I do and I determine, I'm in charge. And the question is again, how much we made sure he would get the right perceptions in advance, the correct values, and then it will be easy for us to talk to him at this age. If the adolescence doesn't come, that's bad. We really have a problem with the child. His personality has to begin coming out. But the question is now, what expression we see, and also here, even though it's adolescence, we have to show him from ourselves also examples. Which expressions, how I express myself, that I express myself responsibly, in consideration of others, with love, with in control, compromising, with doubts, that's very important, submission, three lines like we say it, from the side of weakness, from the side of strength, smart, doubt, etc. Understands, doesn't understand, feel, doesn't feel, controlling, weak, loving and rejecting, each and everything. And the way that we use these two sides, this is how we can relate to each and every phenomenon. And not just I love, I hate, but rather that it will be in balance, each thing. I don't love this. There's no such thing. You need to show the other side, because there's people who are opposite and you won't find a connection with them at all. You need to be in balance. Even though you decide that you don't love it, you understand that others do love it. On the other hand, you can dress in someone else, etc. These are things that they have to learn. Adolescence is a time of active communication. But it's not just kids are playing hide and seek and stuff. It's already a personality. A person's personality is that he's learning to get out of himself, to present himself, in other words. And he knows how to present what to who in such a way that he will look good to himself, that he won't be lying or do anything by force or bending himself, but rather how he understands the world first of all. He understands. We have to explain him people's weaknesses in a very strong way, what people are, their characters, what weaknesses they have, signs for disagreement, hatred, blind love, sexual attraction, the urges, the negative and positive urges, attraction and rejection that each and every person has. And to what and the more that a person is balanced between all these urges, he's more complete with the world. He can relatively enjoy many things. He can enjoy many things relatively, and he can understand, maybe not agree, but he can understand each and every person. This is very important. Active communication, it's about the learning has to be correct here. But this is truly the work. It's not just give him little examples like it was before, good boy, getting from us, even though we're explaining all kinds of things to him. Here, it's really to help him build his personality in an active desire that's being revealed that wants to be a person. So here, let's put it like this. If previously we made this statue and we worked on some image of a person, let's say a general image, that we made it from the correct material and everything. Now we're shaping it in an internal way. We're helping him build the person inside of him. I mean, not the external marble, but really the spirit that's in him. And here it's truly art. I think that soon we'll be ready for this, to go through it ourselves, and afterward to be professional, to do it on audiences and all kinds of workshops, all kinds of groups, also in a personal way. But this is work. We need artists here, really artists. And this includes theater, museums, trips, discussions, books, games, certain games, very specific games. Lots of history, lots of talks together in all kinds of forms, impressions, negative and positive impressions, that he's not just reading something, but rather they're discussing it and getting an explanation from a few people who are against it. And through that, he builds his viewpoint, his multidimensional viewpoint about each and everything. It's very important things. These are very important things, and truly as parents, we don't have enough understanding and information how to deal with this process. Building a person is really divine art. It's the creator The Creator does it. Only those same people that have the upper force, that have the understanding about a person's soul, they can do it. Therefore, what I'm talking about is the type of ideal that we have to aspire to, but we need really spiritual artists for it. This is what we're shaping now. Maybe before I get into the questions deeper to understand this process, but it's all, of course, with the understanding that we have enough time. We're already talking about it, that we're not working, that we're living in new lives, that we're all almost unemployed. We're still working. We're still working. Let's not jump to a reality that doesn't exist. Okay, in the meantime, we can't deal with that either. I want to give one general question. I noticed that the age of adolescence has changed. If in my time, if I look at myself, I remember that my adolescence started around the age 12 or 13 or the age 16 or 17. Today, girls start adolescence, at least according to the surveys, at the age of 8 or 9, at 10, they're completely developed. How did it happen that I saw the adolescence of my generation? Yes, it was like 14, 16. It was like the central age of, it was called like a teenager. Nature has changed. How is it possible that our kids are growing up much faster at a much younger age? Why is this happening? There's many explanations, but it's because we're all together. The world is full of information from genes and hormones that are developing faster, from food, everything that we do. We're also living in a more centralized way in the city with lots of movement, lots of connections between us, internet, TV, and everything. A child feels that he's in the world, in the big world. Until the age of, I don't know, 16 or 17, I almost never went out of my city. I was in a special family. They took me to the Black Sea and all kinds of places, to the big cities in our country. But other kids, they didn't even know what those things were. And today it's, how can you not go see those things? And on the other hand, also adolescence used to end at a certain point much earlier. It was shorter. It used to start later and finish at the end of 17, 18. And today, there's no end. At the age of 30, they're still teenagers. But it's also because the world is not ending, it's always developing. And a person that's in it, he's also apparently always changing and developing. And now in his life, he's going through many forms of life, many reincarnations. Once upon a time, it was my village, my work, my parents, my relatives, I'm marrying the neighbor there, and that's it. And kids, and everything's clear. He builds a house. I built a house next to them, and everything's fine. And now, from year to year, I change place, change my luck, change my family, I switch everything. So it's not possible for a person to settle and to be, like, stable. Each time things are changing. If the world was once stable, there's a king, masters in the region, rulers. And today it's all coming and going. Everyone comes and goes. It's switching very quickly. things can be different from today to tomorrow. Nobody can keep their word. You don't know how someone will think or decide something in another moment. It's accepted in a changing dynamic world. We're also dynamic. Therefore, the adolescence age that used to appear, we used to relate to them like that, that they want this and they want that, and they're jumping, and they forgot about them. Today it's normal. It's completely normal. Also, our time, it's a general adolescence period for all of us. We were in the period of childhood. Let's say until the age of 9 or 10, the entire world, all of the world's population, we were like carrying on. We would, but we were quite static. And today we're getting into this period of humanity, of the adolescence. And it's just the first phase where we feel confused. Lots of forces are operating on us. Things are happening. We don't know how to work with it. We don't know what to do. We don't have anyone that can teach us how we, humanity, can now stabilize ourselves and get the correct things from all these things, how to process them, what's right for the right, for left, that's good, that's bad. We don't have examples for the correct behavior. Therefore, we're really hanging in air. That's characteristic of our period. I know as a parent, as a mother, I learned a lot precisely from being a parent, from raising my children. So precisely here, from dealing with my kids growing up in the family, maybe I'll also go through an adolescence phase with them and understanding, because it's like similar processes. Therefore, if we learn how to teach correctly, then in that we're also learning ourselves. There's no choice. We have no one to learn from. But we need to try according to the method that we're verifying. We need to start to work, and then we'll go through this development as well. I want to mention something. I want to ask about something you said before. You talked about developing up to adolescence and afterward. Up to adolescence, it's actually we're always copying. So make sure he has good examples in front of him, and then he'll copy them. And also examples that aren't so great, also bad examples, but that he'll know not to copy them. You teach him from both sides. He doesn't verify everything, but he sees the bad examples, and you explain to him why they're bad, and it's not worth it for him to copy them, just the opposite. That's until adolescence. And then you said, after adolescence, he starts to have his own heart and brain, his own engine, that he wants to give examples of his behavior. Can you expand? This means that he doesn't look at others how they behave, but rather he wants to show everyone how he behaves. Meaning, instead of being passive, he becomes active. Instead of just absorbing and receiving everything around him, which is actually his childhood, he becomes mature. And then from day to day, he has more personal, independent. It doesn't matter if it's correct, good, or not. He presents it in a very highlighted way, precisely. This is his pleasure. This is me. I exist between you. And this is how I'm presenting myself. Look who I am. And then we see the queen of the class and all these forms, these terrible forms that they feel. But this is the age. What do you mean? Control. What do we have at those ages? They suffer from it so much. They feel like they're in prison, like they're in a work camp. They feel like they're being squished. They can't express themselves the way they want to. Otherwise, other kids jump on him, gang up on him. There's always a struggle of the ego in all kinds of forms. And they're always making accounts. They can't learn. They don't care about the world or anything. They just care about how they each look in their class towards others. Nothing else interests them. A person wants to present himself. And we don't allow him to do that. We close them up in the class. It's like you're bringing gangs, opposite gangs, into one cage, into one cell. They're really blowing up. They're exploding. This whole form gives them a trauma for life. I would immediately change it, the class for those ages. How, what, to what form? We'll talk about it. Maybe some other time, but it's definitely not like that. If we're stuck with those things in each and every class, but first of all, I wouldn't even bring them to such a situation. I'd prepare them differently, but not like that. First of all, I'll just give you a few tips. First of all, I divide them according to their desires to all kinds of groups. Let's say there's 30 kids in the class, in the best case, sometimes more. Let's say there's 40. Yes. Okay. Divide them up. Divide them up. Who wants to study with who? Feel free. It's also with preparation beforehand. Let's say 10. Break up into teams of 10. Who wants to go there? Even not 10. I'm not determining. Maybe there's even a group of 2 or 3. Maybe there's a group of 20 people. But divide up according to the way you want. Let's try. That's what I do. I divide them. I wouldn't keep them together. But again, let's verify why it's more convenient for me to be here. Maybe you want to be with them because they're weak, and next to them you feel more secure. Maybe you want to be next to them because they're pretty and you're not so pretty, and you think it will be better if you're among them, etc. We need to verify, not as like that, as revealing as I'm saying, but we need to verify the urges. But the main thing is that they feel convenient. It's pleasant for me to be with these few people. And is it pleasant for you because you control them? Does that mean convenient for you? There may have to be not some kind of... But everyone will write a secret note who they wanted to be and who they didn't want to be with and why. There's a lot of work here, but it's very correct to do it because it allows a person to relate to life properly. Which type of person he wants to be, why these people, why those people not. It's worth investing months in this, and afterward to invest a few hours every week discussing it until they build themselves through this work. Because the class is a place It's like a little mini world. There's weak, there's strong people. There's all kinds of forms. Therefore, it's a good place for verifying things. I wouldn't rush to divide them up. I would separate, let's work with that group, and then bring them together again and make a meeting, a class meeting, and a gathering, class gathering. I would verify because they don't learn anything anyhow. They have no head for learning. Those years, they go through a few years. All they care about is friends at that time. That's a time for building yourself. So it's worth investing in, but that's the work. And then we'll really get a good result. The good result is that each one can live with everyone and feel content with everyone, getting along good with everyone, even though everyone's completely different. If everyone knows how he fits in with everyone and feels comfortable with that, because he understands the other, the main thing is to understand your fellow man. If I understand him, then I have the ability to connect with him. There's no such thing as not being able to connect with someone. It doesn't matter who they is. The main thing is that I'll understand him, that I'll dress in him, that one will have the ability to get close to the other, and he's smart and he understands, and then it works. Everyone becomes a good psychologist. And the main thing for himself, he understands himself, his weaknesses, his internalness, why he thinks like this or like that, his self-psychology. And then through that, he connects with others. Therefore, here we see the foundation of the future society. That's why Baal HaSulam respects materialistic psychology, because that's the correct connection between people that brings them to a corrected society. Can I ask about what you said before? You said that before adolescence, he's passive, he's absorbing, he's receiving. Then he reaches adolescence, that's nature speaking in him. It's not that he chooses or something. Nature talking through him. Taste. What's happening? He's not guilty. It's not that he's a good boy. And then you need to take advantage of those times to give him good explanations it's in Aramaic what you're saying, heart and mind. The correct impression in the heart and the desire. Pretty, not good, bad, fear, happiness, all kinds of things like that. All kinds of forms. And an explanation. Why do I feel bad? Why do I feel good? Maybe I'm not used to it. He has to be as objective as possible to build an objective. I'm like this because it's my character, I'm used to it, etc. But some people have a different character. You build in him preparations for adolescence. So that's in childhood. But in adolescence, he starts to use them in an active way. And he'll have all these inner characteristics, these impressions that are laid down like cards. And he uses them in a manner that he chooses and sees how to present himself and how to build himself and how he's already a person. He wants to be in society, especially in the adolescence. He wants to look big. So what kind of a persona is he making of himself? What do you mean big? What appears to him, if he behaves like this, he'll see himself as great. At an age like this, he wants to show himself as great. starts to smoke, wear high heels, makeup. The boys are doing all kinds of macho stuff over there. It depends on your education. But the main thing is, I am a big person. They want to show that instead of being 15, they want to look like they're 25. I remember as a young girl, if they said that I looked 5 years older, it was a great compliment at that age. Really, what is that expression, that desire to be great? It's nature. We need to understand. This is how we need to relate to them. I can't say to them, shut up, do this, do that. Nature is forcing him to be great. I just need to teach him the most desired form out of all the forms that there are. But the fact that he'll want it, I can't. But without developing, we need to always relate to a creature where nature is always awakening, and we need to use this warmth, these urges, these desires in the correct manner. That's all. Which fire? Which bonfire? The bonfire of development. So at the beginning, this fire burning in him is to grab onto the world, and then later on, how will I look bigger? You said that he has an urge in adolescence to say, here I am, I exist between you. Look, that's at the age of adolescence, that he wants to show himself as great, as existing. I'm a man. How does he want to show himself in the family? Precisely, I'm like everyone. He wants to be like everyone. He doesn't want to feel like a child. He wants someone to relate to him differently, and precisely that he has independence, that they take him into account. You described previously the importance of feeling both sides. On the one hand, apparently the good and the bad. And many times when we look at teens, we say they say all kinds of dangerous things, stupid things. You say, what are these stupid things that you're doing? It's a desire to live between two ends all the time. Without ends, they don't feel like they exist. Myself as well. How do I know my hand is there? Because I'm pressing on the table without this limit. Without the limit, I don't understand where I am. I need to be in some place. So you have pressure. You have pressure from others. I'm pressuring myself. People are pressuring me from outside. Without that, sometimes I get into an argument with other people. Why? Because I don't feel that they're relating to me. Why does the little kid get mad? He breaks out because he needs attention. We're talking between us, and the little kid suddenly starts screaming, and it's just so that he'll be taken into account. And we big people, we also do that. Another thing that you said, the purpose is to give him cards so that at the age of adolescence he'll be able to build his personality. What's the point of giving him the cards, and what does he do with these cards later on? A person is born, he has a memory. Apart from that, he doesn't know anything from this world. When he's small, yes. And he starts to fill himself with impressions. So first of all, his impressions are from one end to the other. He sees prostitution, robbing, murdering, all kinds of very negative things. He also sees helping, how mommy and daddy relate to each other, the family, consideration, etc. The fact that he filled himself with all these forms, there has to be some program that verifies what's good and what's bad, and in which form I can present myself in each situation, with the external conditions. I'm here, actually, I'm holding myself it's like I'm placing myself in a theater. Who? The person. I'm in a situation, and in this situation, I take from my memory some card, some picture, and in this manner, I need to present myself right up to the last detail, to dress like this, to move like this, to present myself like this, to relate to him like this, and to relate to him like that, in all kinds of the smallest things, because I don't have from the beginning, from myself, anything about how to behave. I have to receive this format from life. And then the whole period from birth until adolescence, I fill myself with all kinds of types of behavior. And afterward as well, but a lot less. That's why the childhood age is so important. That's why we're always talking and talking and explaining what's good, what's bad. We spoke about it, that we always talk next to the child. Why it happens and how, etc. And he's willing to absorb it with an open mouth. After he filled his batteries and his memory with all kinds of forms, with lots of cards, he takes them out in accordance with what he got from my explanation, along with these forms. And this is how he behaves in the world. And until the end of his life, he'll behave like this. Until the end of his life, each and every person. And even now, the way you're behaving because you have all kinds of impressions from the past. I have to sit like this, and I have to do like this with my head. Exactly. It's precise. There's never anything in a person randomly. It's a copy, reflection of all kinds of his impressions from childhood, being a youngster, maybe slightly afterwards, because it's a problem, because he's less and less taking into account the people next to him, and he's not accepting their new forms of behavior. That's it. We are simply going through in life those same forms that exist in our brain. It's like in theater. Each time I see something and I see it's worth it for me to behave like this or behave like that, to feel myself as secure and good as possible and control in every situation, this is what my ego pushes me to do in everything in life. So what happens in the transition? I start to take these cards out. I'm a person. I'm a person. It's me. Even more than everyone, I feel myself important, standing out, exceptional. I'm out on the stage in front of the crowd. I feel myself like in a theater, the theater of life. And here it's important to see how he implements what he received before. We have to put it into our memory, and now it's important to us which values he's using in order to get this persona out of everything he has in his brain. I don't get it. He goes into a new place. How will he behave? He meets his teacher. He doesn't care. He acts like he doesn't care about their opinion. He really doesn't care about the police, the small people, he doesn't see them. It's important to us how he, which cards he takes out, which types of behavior he pulls out from the ones that he has. Talk to actors. A good actor is an actor that has in his brain thousands of types of behavior. And like a parrot, he takes them out from inside, he whips them out like a monkey, and starts to play. The more precisely he plays the character that's there in his brain, he's a better actor. And the same with a person. He's just not aware of it. That's the fact that he's not aware of it. Therefore, we need to teach him. There's no choice. So hang on, there's cards. There's giving the cards, and there's acquiring the cards during childhood. During childhood, our goal is to get to fill his memory with as many types of cards as possible. And next to the cards, the program. The program is what's good and what's bad, what's worth it, what's not worth it. It's worth it for you, for your ego, or for something higher than your ego, for you and for others. Here we're getting into building in him the correct attitude to what he's absorbing. So my job as a parent is to catalog all these cards for him, to good and to bad. Let's say I went with my kids. We went to all kinds of museums in Canada and America, and I explained to him all kinds of forms. As much as I could, based on my profession. Yeah, these foundations, that this is like that, and this is like that, this is how we behave. Museums, I mean, like the natural museum especially, not just pictures. That's not so interesting. Where nature is, development, technology, medicine, museum. That's worth it. And then you build in a person a certain attitude to life. An understanding, criticism as much as possible, knowing where they are. And that's it. So the main thing is to know what's good and what's bad as much as possible. But here you're working on the person in him, and that's above his ego. You try to make of him, we spoke of it, we try to make something objective, that he sees himself from the side. This is my weakness, I can't do this, but I'm aware of it. But I'm aware that I'm weak. I'm weak in this, and I'm aware that I'm strong in this way. I can deal with it and not go along with my urges. And if I'm used to it, if then my habit becomes second nature, how can I get rid of my nature? How can I do the opposite of what my nature dictates to me? My values toward the world change. I already see it in a different light. In other words, that a person always weighs, verifies, receives the form of life from each of the people in front of him. I always don't take a photo of it with that camera, not feeling anything, but rather I'm capturing it in my desire. And when I'm capturing it, I either like it or I don't. I like blondes and she's dark. I like a different kind of glasses or without glasses, and she has glasses, excuse me. All kinds of other things. I can't see a person without the participation of my desires, of my tastes. And so let's see, is it possible? Is it possible to see it slightly more objectively? Just slightly, that you move it from where you cut here and say, that's it. And you say, let's look at it in a different way, not completely opposite. If in that delta where you move it from state to state, you build doubts in it, that I'm maybe not right, that maybe my tastes aren't precisely the right ones, that maybe other people can have other tastes, like now I changed myself. You begin to work with him in a sophisticated manner, in such a way that you talk to him and everything, and then you see it's okay. You think like that? Okay, fine. And then through time, the next day or 2 days later, you start to work in a different way with him. You go around the other way, and he starts changing. And then you say quietly, see, now you changed yourself and your viewpoint and your values, and you're already looking at things differently than the way you saw them 2 days ago. You saw how you changed in 2 days. So also in 2 days, you'll change to some other form. And this is how each of us changes. There's no person that's just a person, like a piece of stone. He's always changing. Therefore, there's no absolute in life. But rather, we're always changing. And even though from the side of weakness on the one hand, but on the other hand, the fact that we're changing, we're advancing. But if we can agree with the changes in us, that this is how we are, then we can get rich from all the forms that we're going through. Why? Because you have all the forms together. And from there, you can build some way of relating to life like this or like that. And if we, through that, each of us changes and each one of us is different in all kinds of forms, but if we'll connect together, all of us, to a single image of man, what perfect man will come out of that? You start to demonstrate to him how bad people are, but you also give him the solution along with that. And if you will be that kind of person that can connect with people in this manner, then you'll be that perfect person, precisely. What does it mean to connect with others in this way? What does it mean to reach a common decision with them, a general decision? That's the perfect form. You can reach it. Even though you're alone and you're small and changing, you're already teaching him a solution for all of the weaknesses in the human race and in himself. You said before that you want to move him from one position to the next in order to give him doubts about decision making, the way he commands himself. You meaning, so let's say he has a certain opinion about something, and that's it, I've decided, and that's it. But isn't it the opposite? The whole process that you described, now that we do it from the adolescence onward, we do it with people in our courses. I'm talking about going from childhood to adolescence toward a person that's born and advances. We need to do these things at this age, yes. At these ages, he needs to be built like a perfect person. Okay, so I don't understand so much the doubts part. You said that at the adolescence age, he starts to have an urge to say, here I am, this is my personality. It's like Baal HaSulam writes that a person who sees life correctly, he begins to understand that what he has today, for sure, tomorrow becomes uncertain, 2 days later becomes the opposite of uncertainty, becomes something incorrect compared to what there was 2 days ago. Today, I'm sure it's correct. Tomorrow, I'm in doubt. 2 days from now, I'll already against what happened on the first day. And then I do it again and again. And this is how it is. And just shows my development. And if I say I'm going to do it, then you're static. Hang on. It's very interesting what you're saying, because it's as if my truth is changing all the time. Today I was sure this was my truth. Tomorrow I discover that what I thought yesterday, 2 days from now it'll be a lie. 2 days later, it's the opposite. It's a lie. And where's the truth? In the circle, in the connection between everyone. There's no way around it. We are never, this is what we need to bring kids to understand. That's why I said, let's divide them into groups. In the groups, we begin somehow to bring them to one opinion, and then we begin to bring them together, bonding in groups. This we need to see according to a person's preparation, what they received at home. Or if these kids go through our treatment, there's no problem, and we don't need to divide the class of 40 up. They already understand that relatively they'll grasp our treatment. But the whole trend has to be at the end of the day, only in that in the center of the connection between us, that's where a person's image is perfect. And we are the private parts, and each one of us has something good, but everything else is bad. It's a very big change of perspective, especially since we're talking about adolescence, because many times you see your kid switching from this to that. It looks like the child's unstable, and we get mad about it. Yesterday you said, yeah, this. We need to show the child that this is precisely good. We need to encourage it. We're always inclined to say, be stable, put a hidden camera, film him, and show it to him. Just the opposite. Why am I sticking to this point? I feel this something very strong here. The main message that has to go through, the main thing the parent has to convey, first of all, dynamic, switching, changing, that's very healthy. It's for every advanced person until the end of his life. It's not for teenagers. It's the greatest sign of health for a person who's growing and developing until the end of his days. Whoever remains here and doesn't change becomes like a rock. Now, for the kids growing up, the subject of self-confidence, this is the security. But how does it connect to security? The fact that I'm changing is a fact. I'm changing all the time. But the fact that I know that changing is good, it gives me security, it gives me confidence. That's the change. Because the fact that I'm changing, and if I'm stuck to some single form, then of course I don't have security. I shouldn't open myself, present myself. I'll always see something unstable. And here I'm also criticizing myself that I'm not stable, and it's correct. But this instability is actually a sign of maturity, of never-ending maturity, until we truly understand that the only solution in our eyes is to connect to one person, to one image. Okay, our time is almost up. We'll probably have more talks about this, about adolescence. The subject of adolescence really continues our whole life. So, of course, we'll have more talks about this. If I would ask you to conclude in two sentences what you taught us today, we see how these first years that a person goes through in his life, they are so important. And if we, until the age of 15, don't bring a person correct impressions, and put them in our memory in the correct manner, along with writing down what each and every impression is, good, bad, how to take it out, in which cases. Then we're not preparing him for adolescence. And in the age of adolescence, we need to work with him on the fact that each of us and all the forms and all the connections between them and all the things, they have to bring them precisely to connection between them. At the end of this age, 15, 16, 17, they'll decide that the correct connection between people is the solution to all human weakness that is becoming a weakness that is stopping us from thriving and succeeding. And then life really starts. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. It's fascinating. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Let's grow up. New life. All the best.